This is Apollo Control at 9 hours, 58 minutes. We've had virtually no conversations with the crew since they completed the exercise in checking out the lunar module some 45 minutes or so ago. And it's been relatively quiet here in the control center. We've had no further discussions of the problem or apparent lack of a problem with the lunar module. The situation, to recap, began prior to this shift coming on, shortly after the translunar injection, with a crew report of particles apparently coming off the lunar module. And at the time, it was not known where they were coming from or what the nature of them might be. At a ground elapsed time of 7 hours, 17 minutes, Charlie Duke came on the circuit and reported that the white particles appeared to be coming from a portion of the lunar module below the docking target, and this would be on the right side of the LEM as you're facing the lunar module looking towards the front porch and what's commonly or frequently described as the face of the lunar module ascent stage. He described the surface as having an appearance of paint or coating peeling and giving the texture of shredded wheat. The immediate reaction here in the control center was one of concern for the possible thermal effects that this might have, since the skin is on the lunar module primarily to provide thermal protection to the tanks and electrical equipment and so on underneath. And it was also a matter of concern as to what might have shredded the skin or coating. We had very little data from the lunar module at this time. The only information we had was the amount of electrical current being provided from the command module to the LEM. At about 8 hours, 13 minutes, after evaluating the possibilities and determining that the skin was over an area of the lunar module which contained the reaction control system thruster tankage for RCS System A, it was decided here in the control center to recommend to the crew that they enter the lunar module, power it up, and let us take a look on the telemetry at the pertinent tanks, pressures, temperatures, and so on. It was also decided to request that Ken Mattingly unstow the television and give us a look at the exterior of the LEM. Shortly after this, at 8 hours 15 minutes, John Young gave us a further report, which perhaps increased the level of concern here in the control center a bit. Young reported that the particles did appear to represent venting. He said he could see them coming out with some force in a stream, as if they were being propelled away from the LEM. At this time, we passed up to the crew the request that they get into the lunar module and power it up partially to let us take a look via the telemetry at those systems. About 15 minutes later, at about 8 hours 30 minutes, Young and Duke were in the lunar module and reported that they had switched over to LEM power. And shortly thereafter, we got a good solid look at the telemetry data. And everything looked fine. All of the tank pressures were normal, the quantities were normal, and the temperatures were also normal. We looked at the telemetry long enough to assure the LEM systems engineers that we had had no leaks and that there were no leaks in progress. And there was nothing to indicate any problem whatsoever. Charlie Duke, on coming out of the lunar module, reported that everything inside looked very clean. And at about that time, we also got a television picture from the command module camera, which Ken Mattingly was operating, and could see here in the control center a very clear picture of the few square feet of panels that were involved on the lunar module. These are aluminum skins, about 0.004 of an inch thick. and they are painted. And the description that Charlie Duke gave appeared to have been very accurate. The TV picture that we saw here in the control center indeed looked very much like shredded wheat. The surface had the paint curling up as if it had grass growing on it or shreds of shredded wheat on the surface scattered around on what should have been a smooth, relatively shiny surface. Seeing nothing to explain the problem, the last thought that was discussed here in the control center was the possibility that some effect from one of the reaction control system thrusters on the command module had caused the surface to degrade, possibly heat or chemical components or something of that nature, and there appeared to be no problem associated with it. There's been no further discussion since that time, and appears to be no further concern at the moment over what could have been a problem. The crew is presently involved in a series of star sightings using the optical equipment, the sextant, on the command module. Ken Mattingly is performing this exercise, taking sightings on a series of four stars, and then marking, pushing a button which enters the information into the command module guidance system.
Affirmative, still with you.
Okay. Hey, let me give you a couple of comments here in real time, so you're writing them down. You know, one of the things that had been mentioned was this business about the reflections in the sextant when you're doing B-23s. And I've got a, gee, it's a beautiful picture of the Earth horizon. The optics are just super. And we've got a what looks like an inverted, sort of like a mirror image in the opposite side away from the horizon. It's really quite obvious.
That's
and you can just see the bright areas.
Right, that's in the sextant.
And it's about, yeah, it's just in the sextant. And it's about, I don't know how to give you a percentage of the intensity, but it's much less intense than the thing of the Earth. That's very bright. And the star is the match between the Earth horizon as seen through the fixed line of sight and the star line of sight is just perfect. It's really nice. The only thing I can't see as well as I'd like is the crosshairs, and with the illumination turned up to full bright, they just don't stand out when the whole Earth is in the field of view. When I get them down against the Earth itself, then I can see the dark line. But when I got it out in the sky beyond the Earth horizon, I just don't see it as well as I'd like.
Roger, copy.
And as you probably noticed there, we used that little adaptive short P-23 erasable program, which is really swift. That thing just fire these things off, and I don't feel like in any way we're having to take shortcuts on the pointing accuracy. The only time it takes now is to dress up the substellar point on initial acquisition.
Roger.
And that's what we're doing now. It seems to take quite a while.
Roger.
That was Ken Mattingly.
Spacecraft on, we should remember not to put the optics in the kitchen.
Roger, understand.
That was Ken Mattingly giving a subjective evaluation of the optics and the program used in computing these mid-course navigations. Mattingly noted that there was a reflection in the CSM sextant, the optical device that he's looking through, and lining up a star, in this case over the Earth horizon. Once the star is lined up in the proper position, Mattingly pushes a button, and the computer automatically notes the time and the angle between the star and the Earth horizon, and from this computes and updates its knowledge of the spacecraft position's trajectory. Mattingly noted that the there did appear to be somewhat of a reflection in the optics. He said its primary effect was that it tended to wash out the crosshairs, but that this was not particularly a problem. He said it was not as clean as he would like it, but we can verify from the results that he's getting, which we're watching here on the ground, that he is indeed having no problems. The flight activities officer who's watching the entries that are made into the computer said that the data that Mattingly is getting is better than was expected pre-flight.